Well, let's open up God's word and let's continue with that teaching that the Lord gave us last week. Faith is the nature of God. Faith is the nature of God. And I started this from Hebrews 11 verses 1 and 2, which we know very well here. But I showed you and began to open up that faith is the word of God and it's the divine flow of the inward work of the Holy Spirit. So faith is the word of God and it's the divine flow of the Holy Spirit's work, working in your heart and my heart. And that is why God gets us together. He brings us together week after week into his presence, because he's working with our faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Do we love the Lord? Of course we do. Do we want to please him? I assume we do. Therefore, we do it on the basis of faith. And that faith is simply choosing to believe. For faith, as we've been shown, is that higher knowledge. This is why the world cannot receive this knowledge. This is why the world tries to worship and believe God in its own intellect, in its own strength and its own ability. And you cannot. Faith is supernatural. And to worship God, to believe God, is supernatural. And God has to do a supernatural work in you. It's called miracles. Salvation, the new birth, is a miracle. To actually believe is a miracle. To say amen to the word of God that you hear is a miracle. You cannot do it without the Spirit. You cannot even begin to believe without the Spirit. And that is why you've got religion today. And religion is supernatural. Religion tries to believe. Religion tries to get to God. Religion tries to be good. Tries to earn its way to heaven. You never can. You never will. It is a work of grace. It is a gift. And remember, the good news of the gospel is God loved you first. God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. The ability is not in us. Our minds and hearts are far removed. Our minds are of this world. Our minds savor the things of this world. Our minds lust after the things of this world. God has to put a new mind in you, a new spirit. And in order for all of that to be appropriated, it takes faith. And even that is a gift. And that is why I'm calling these teachings, faith is the nature of God. It is God's very heart, his very nature, his very being, influencing, wooing you, working with you, getting you to believe. But we still do not believe, do we? There are still those areas where there's that hardness of heart. There's still those areas where fear dominates, where we're still looking at the giants instead of looking to the word of God and to the promises. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. And a sign that you are called, chosen, because many are called, many respond by the calling, but it's in that calling whether you're chosen. And that is the question. Many can say amen. Many can sit like what we're doing. But the test will be, are you chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world? And the sign of that will be, is you will stay with it and you will endure to the end and you will obey what God is saying and showing and teaching you in your life. If you are rebelling and you are resisting, that could be a clear sign. Yes, you've had a calling, but you're not chosen. That's real stuff. That's Bible. Now, if that works the fear of God, that's the beginning of wisdom, then praise God, I've done my job as a preacher. I've showed you last time that faith is a personal knowledge and experience of God's divine presence within you, changing you. Again, these are another clear signs. My faith that I believe in God, is this changing me? changing me from glory into glory, working with me? Do I see changes in my life? Have I changed this last even 6 months? Or am I remaining where I am? Have I moved? Have I moving forward? Well, if you walk humbly before God, you can answer that question. And you'll answer that question something like, I believe I am, and I can only do it by the grace and mercy of God. It is not by my own intellect, my own ability, my own strength. If there is change, and I trust and believe there is change because I want to please and glorify God, then that change is simply because of the mercy and grace of God. That's the sort of thing you'll hear if a man or woman is chosen by God in Christ Jesus. Well, all of that, of course, is on disc for those who want to listen to this, as I'm going to begin to preach even another message from that. But faith brings this relationship with God. It was very interesting. I was witnessing to a Muslim last night. And yes, he was intellectual. He knew the Quran. He even knew the Bible reasonably well. And he had all the quotes and they were all coming out. And the Holy Spirit quickened to me and said, don't give him any scripture. Because you know you're ready to sort of use the scripture, the word of God. Because we're told it's a two-edged sword. And God said, trust me. And I thought, praise God. The Holy Spirit's present here. So I just began to befriend him and just talk with him. And, you know, he wanted to introduce himself and so on. Didn't live in this country. And I then thought, well, what do I say? And then I found myself saying, why is it as a Muslim you're coming into a Christian chat room? So he sort of came back. He said, well, that's a good question. And he said, I like to share my faith. I said, oh, that's interesting. So we continued along those lines. And then he began to quote to me about Islam and so on. Some of it I knew. And then I said, well, how do you deal with sin? And so I then had a lot about from the Quran with sin. But I said, how do you deal with the demands of sin? Sin has to be paid. The demands of sin, breaking the law, that demand has to be met. How do you do it? And we began to waffle a little bit. And I said, but how is sin dealt with? How is it covered? How is it atoned? Something must pay the price for our sin, our rebellion, you see. And so he was trying to quote the Quran and so on. And then I took it a step further. I said, do you have a personal relationship with God, or Allah as they call him? And so then all quotes of the Quran came through. And he said, of course, you know, this is superstition. We don't believe in superstition and so on. But I said, surely, you know, if you walk with God or you get to know God, isn't there then a relationship involved with this? Do you know him personally? And of course, the powers of darkness were trying to veer me off that fundamental question. Do you know God personally? But I stuck with it. It took three quarters of an hour, having a lot of the Quran, and I kept coming back to him. Do you know God personally? Does he speak to you? Does he commune to you? Do you talk to him? Do you hear him? And right at the end, the word came through, one word, no. And I said, good night. I said, we'll talk again, and you can contact me on Skype. And I gave him my Skype name. I put the ball in his court. You see, I wasn't going to go back. Everything within me says, good, I've got into that place. And the Lord said, you end it now. Now we'll see if he'll come back. See? I could have quoted scripture. I could have bombarded him with scripture. He wanted that. You see, they like that. They feed off that argument. I wasn't going to play it. And I went to the most simplest thing about salvation. And the fact is, do you know God? And does God know you? And do you walk in that personal relationship with him? That, my friends, sorts it out. Because what you are doing, you are beginning to reveal the Holy Spirit's work and ministry. Because they do not have the Holy Spirit. They don't really believe in the Holy Spirit. He tried to even challenge me with the triune nature of God. I wasn't going to go down that road. I said, I believe in the Godhead, and he manifests himself as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's one divine spirit. He couldn't come back on that. Because they believe God is one. You see, he knew the questions to try and come to with Christians, you see. But I'd sussed that out pretty quickly. So there we are. I'm in prayer for him. He wasn't vindictive. He wasn't aggressive. I believe there's hope. I believe there's hope. Was that a coincidence? No. God purposed. He meant it. But I've closed the conversation with him saying no. The ball is in his court. Now we'll see if he means business. And he'll meditate and read on those things. He'll come back. I leave him with the mercy of God. That is how you do it. Well, faith is the nature of God. And I want to continue with this. Because faith is based upon a knowledge of God. Because it's him. It's his nature that we're dealing with. So when we're talking about faith. And we're talking about faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God. We're actually dealing with God. We're dealing with his nature. We're dealing with the fact that God doesn't have to believe in himself. He doesn't have to believe, well, am I faithful or am I not faithful? Am I God or am I not God? Of course he doesn't. He is sovereign. He knows exactly who he is, who he has been and always will be. What he has to do is influence us. He has to woo us. He has to show us that he doesn't change. And so he imparts to us his nature. And that is the wonderful good news of the gospel. That it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have received the nature, the Godhead himself. So when you receive him, you receive the ability to believe. And that ability to believe means that you have a knowledge, a teaching, an understanding of God, his word, his ways, his works. That is why anyone can get saved. It doesn't matter about your background, your education, what examinations you have, what experience you have, because God doesn't work that way. God works by putting his nature, a new mind, a new heart, a new spirit within you. And that is how he teaches you. That is how he educates you, if you like. That is how he does it. And that is why it doesn't matter what you were, what your background was. You are now that new creation in Christ. And God says, now I have a new mind, a creative mind. My mind, and I'm now going to teach you, and you appropriate all of that by simply believing. That is all it is. You don't have to try to believe. You don't have to do good works to believe. You don't have to, in a sense, obey to believe. Now, don't get me wrong where I'm saying that, because sometimes we do disobey. But even when we do miss it and we miss the mark, even God who is in us works that in us to bring us to that place so we have a different mind. Because that's what it means to obey. It means I have a different mind. I have a different attitude. I no longer think that anymore. I no longer have a desire for that anymore. They are the doors that are being closed in our life. That is the deliverance that God is setting in us. Where we once believed those lies that they were fed to us, We now are closing those doors, and we close it by faith as God works with us with that renewed mind, that mind of Christ, that mind that he's now educating. This is why I keep saying coming to church is coming to school. It's coming to be educated, taught now by God. That is why our assembling together is so important. Because it quickens us to believe. Now, if your faith has not been quickened and challenged by the end of the meeting, then something is wrong. If you are not in that place of seeing, understanding, acknowledging and learning more of God than you did 2 hours ago earlier, then something's wrong. Because God is implanting into our minds. It's called the seed, the word of God. And that seed also educates us, teaches us, gives us that knowledge, that wisdom, that understanding, that faith to believe. You see? Because you have a brain. And God has made that brain for his glory. Sadly, the brain has become impaired through sin. The enemy now has tried to take over that brain, that mind that was for the glory of God. He, being the God of this world until the Lord comes, he now wants to take dominance, possession, hold over the man's mind. And that is why man's mind is under a battle. The battleground, as I always keep telling you, isn't your circumstances. The battleground is this: your mind, your attitude, your thinking. That's where your real battles are. But do we take that seriously? No. The moment we get a trial come along, a little bit of hardship, oh, I'm hurting. Oh, God doesn't love me anymore. Well, you know full well it's not going to last. And yet, where the mind's concerned, your thinking concerned, oh, we don't bother too much about that. You know, we don't talk about that one, you know. Well, who can tame man's mind? Who can bring it under subjection to the will of God? Don't try it. Don't even begin to attempt it. Have you ever tried to empty your mind? Have you ever tried to bring your mind down and think upon God? Have you ever tried doing it? I've tried it once or twice. I don't think I can last more than 3 minutes before the mind begins to wander. It wants to start to think on something else or entertain thoughts. You can't control it. There's only one who can, and that is God, and he works that through the Holy Spirit. And that is why your walk, you're sitting here today, you're listening to this word, you're worshipping and following God, is a miracle in your life. Because it can never, ever be achieved by even the greatest psychologist. And they really think that they've got their act together. See, they cannot change man's mind. They cannot change the heart. See, the heart and the mind are related. They're connected. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are the sum total of your thoughts, what you think. If you think anger, resentment, criticism, you are that. Because that is what is in your heart. And that is what you're going to dwell on and think on. That is where the battleground is. This is where the enemy holds you in that mindset. And it's only as you cry out to God, it's only as you bow that knee, it's only as you hold on to him by faith, does that healing and deliverance come in that right time and way. You see? This is why our faith is so precious. And this is why faith is based upon the knowledge of God, because it's him, it's his nature. Let's turn to John chapter 6. Gospel of John. Chapter 6. And we'll look at verses 28 and 29. John chapter 6, verse 28, 29. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may walk, that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent. Him who sent, or sent me, in other words. He's glorified by our simple test of faith in what he says. That is where he's glorified. Whatever God has revealed in his word, whatever he's saying to you in your life, your circumstances, is glorified by the fact you simply choose to believe. And if you find it hard to believe, then ask him to help you. Because sometimes God has to expose where there are areas in your heart where you really don't actually want to believe. And so, he's glorified by this simple test of faith in what he says. And Jesus saw the way of the Father's works. He knew of his Father's works. And he knew that by yielding over, the works of the Father were to be achieved and done in and through him. They were not his works. They were the works of the Father. He had come to do the Father's will, the Father's works. The Father had sent his Son and said, there is a job I need to do. I am going to fulfill and do it through you. He has full gospel assembly and other assemblies that are going on into the deeper life. He says that work still has to be fulfilled and completed. Jesus clearly revealed that it has. And he says the works of the Father are to be accomplished and fulfilled and finished through you. It is called the greater works. Amen. And it is based upon simply believing. It's based upon the knowledge of God's word. John 5 verse 17. John 5 verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. So as the Father works through him, so what he's saying is, I work in accordance. Because obviously Jesus worked. He worked in his ministry. Any ministry you have to work in. It's never going to work if you just sit on your backside and don't move. So a ministry, for it to work, means you have to work as well. And we all have to work. We work with our hands. We move and have our being each day, whether it's at work or at home, with our neighbour and so on. We work. And so it is in that work, it is in that appropriating, that moving day by day, is where the works of the Father are accomplished and will be accomplished. And Jesus did the same. You see, there are so many promises in God's word that it encourages us to work, to be ready, watchful, waiting on God, because we're so influenced by all these promises, and these promises we want to share. These promises we want to show others that they too can receive these promises and be blessed. And that is why we're inspired to work. But our work is to work the works of God, the greater works. And those works now are being and will be done through us by the work of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, I must go and I will send the Comforter to you. I will come back to you. What did he mean by that? I will come back to you through the work and ministry of the Comforter. So it's not wrong theologically to say the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is Jesus brought back to us, who now resides and lives in and through us. And why has he come back? He's come back not only to save us, but to finish his ministry that he's now going to work through the church, you. It must be fulfilled. It's got to come to completion. And so as you are moved by the Holy Spirit, what you are doing, you are working the works of God. not you, the works of God. Jesus was very clear on glorifying the Father. I do nothing of myself. I only do that which is revealed. I only do that which is worked through me. He found power that went through him. He knew if there was faith present or not. He rebuked unbelief. And the reason he rebuked it is because it is so simple to believe. That is the point. When there comes that day when the sheep and the goats are divided, the gnashing of teeth, the torment will be because they will have seen it was so simple to believe. That's the point. Their will, their stubbornness, their wants, their needs, they chose not to. I come back to what I'm always saying. Man is his own worst enemy. Because he chooses not to. And that gnashing of teeth, that torment will be, I could have chosen to believe. It was that simple. And the frustration will be, why didn't anyone tell me? And they'll see the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world telling them in so many ways, and in their conscience, in the sermon that they heard, or the accident that they had, or near-death experience. They'll see the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and as they look upon him, they'll see it was so simple to believe. Wow. It is. God has removed everything for you to believe. Well, how much more responsible are we to believe? Because here we are, we sit in peace, prosperity. We don't have our Bibles taken away from us. We're not thrown in prison for the faith and so on, like some are. So how much more the responsibility? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 10. Hebrews 2, verses 10 to 15. And here where it speaks about God who will bring many sons into glory. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praises to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I, the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power over death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And so it goes on. Here is the work of the Spirit to bring many sons into glory. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is God's purpose of saving mankind. But the question we have to raise is, how many will mature into that sonship? Because it's there. It is there for every believer who believes by faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice that it says how this is worked. It says, to make captain of their salvation, this is verse 10, perfect through sufferings. It is the sufferings, it is the trials that will test it all. It is the trials, the sufferings that will reveal whether sons come into their full glory. There is a glory for the sons of God. There are different degrees of glory, different rewards, different crowns. But there is a glory for the sons of God, for the bride who makes herself ready, who's ready for the bridegroom. There is a glory for her. Why? Because she has stayed with it. She has stayed through the trials, through the sufferings, through the rejection, through all the negative, everything that Satan tries to throw at us. She's remained faithful. She's held on to the name and the word of Jesus. There's glory for her. A reward for her. Because that is ultimate plan God has for the church. That sons will come into glory in the last day. And this is done by no other way than simply believing. Faith, it is called. Are you looking to how you feel? Are you looking to your circumstances? Forget it. They'll always be against you. Everything will be against you where your walk of faith is concerned. To the most minuscule one thing, whatever it is, it will always be contrary, it will always be against the walk of faith. And yet we still try to get our mind to harmonize with our trials, or whatever it would be, to analyze or work it out, our walk of faith, or why I'm going through this, what is God's purpose, what is his plan, what will the Lord do at the end of this trial. Here we are trying to work it all out and so forth. Children never do that. That's the whole point. Children simply trust and believe what their parents say. They have a total trust. And that is why God brings you to the end of yourself. Not so much the end of yourself in your trials, but the end of yourself trying to be in control. And where does the control try to work? Here. The mind. We've got it all planned. We've got it all worked out. And it all comes to nothing. And eventually, we get the message if we stay with it. Because we realize God's blessing has never been in my trying to work out my walk of faith. I have no blessing. There's no blessing attached to it. There's nothing to show for it. It is not fruitful. And that is why some of your works that you have tried to do have proved not fruitful. And the reason they are not fruitful, because they are not the works of your Father. They are your works. They are what you want. See the difference? And so God has to bring you, sadly, to the end of yourself. He has to break you. He has to remold you. Because he's going to accomplish his works through you. The works of the Holy Spirit. You see? I am convinced that is where the greater works will be. And we're all on our journey being brought to the end of ourselves. With our trials, our problems, whether it's at home or with the children, personal, you name it, whatever it is. We're all of us now coming to a point, I don't know anymore. Have you heard yourself saying now in your trials, I don't know anymore? I have. Surely I can't be the only one. Huh? I don't know anymore. Well, that's a good sign when you don't know anymore. Because there's only one that does know. It's God. Thank the Lord for that. What a deliverance when you don't know anymore. Huh? That is our biggest deliverance. And yet we can still get offended by that. We still get hurt by that. We're still humiliated by that. But the actual fact is that when you don't know anymore, that is your deliverance. And we should praise God and thank him that that's a huge deliverance of getting all that garbage out of my mind. Because that's all it is. That is all it is. We live and walk by faith to glorify him, his nature. You see, to the amount that we are hidden and clothed in him, he is manifested by faith. And so the more you are in Christ, Christ in you, I mean, he is in his fullness. Of course he is. Of his fullness we have received. But in our walk, we are being saved. We are overcoming. We are pressing in. To the amount that we are hid in Christ is the amount that he can work in and through us by faith. All the while there's still areas of you exposed and not God is a hindrance to the flowing work of the Holy Spirit. And he has to deal with it. And that's why he dwells in us and is manifesting in and through us these greater works. And he will do it. You see, this is the grace and the sovereignty of his power. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit manifesting himself in and through you and I. The question is, do we want it? Or do we still want our life? We still want to live the way of the world, act the way of the world? Or do we want the Holy Spirit to work that world out of us? I do, because I know where that world is going. It's going to be burnt up. And if you don't let the Holy Spirit work this spirit of this world, it's the spirit of this age out of you, you will be burnt up with it. You will. Now, you can't do it. You can't change your heart and affections from the things of this world. You love it too much. It takes a work of grace. It takes the Holy Spirit to begin to do it. And he will do it if you will let him. And it is done simply on the basis of believing. How is God going to change your heart and affection from some things of this world? Well, it's a miracle. And he will. He can do it if you will let him. And by him doing that means that you are being hid in Christ. It's no longer you being seen. It's no longer you getting in the way. It's no longer you sinning anymore with your tongue, criticism, gossip, or whatever it is. You're now hid in Christ. It's Christ doing it through one. You see, with all due respect, but again, I go back to witnessing to this Muslim last night. I don't know how to witness. I don't know what to say unless God brings it to me. Oh, I can. I can get all the goosey bumps and start to quote all the scriptures because I know them all. I've been taught the five steps of faith. That isn't how God works. It's simply yielding over. It's asking a question, Lord, do you want me to talk to this man or not? If not, I've got nothing to say to him. What have you to say? Flesh will say, come on, get in there because we've got to witness. We have to get out and witness. That's what your churches teach you. Never asking, does God want you to approach that person or not? I have had some experiences, don't fully know why, but one I do know is that there was one young man who did walk with God years ago and no longer did, and completely and utterly changed. It was absolutely tragic to see how he had degraded, how he had fallen back so far. And I saw him as I actually in the car, I was stopping at traffic lights, and I just said, Lord, I know him, look at the state of him. I hadn't seen him for a long time when I was back in the system in the church, and I started to pray. I just started to go in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit said to me, do not pray for him. And I try to carry on, do not pray for him. I don't know why. I don't know why. But the anointing was not there. And I had to obey. That broke my heart. That was hard. I was learning some lessons of the sovereignty of God. You just don't pray for anyone because you're emotionally moved in that sense. You pray because the Holy Spirit sovereignly leads you to pray. How do you think Jesus prayed sometimes all night? Because the Holy Spirit led him to pray. He was so attuned with his Father and Father with him. He was so consumed with the works of his Father. The works of his Father consisted also of a prayer life and praying those prayers. Now, when you are praying the Holy Spirit, his burden through you, you can't doubt if you try. That's why we're to pray the prayer of faith, are we not? How do you pray the prayer of faith? You pray it by the Holy Spirit praying it through you. You don't know how to pray otherwise, because you will always pray soulishly, emotionally, and it's contrary to God. You see? Peter tried to stop Jesus from going to the cross. He had to come right with a sword and deal with those emotions, because he saw who was using those emotions. The devil. Get there behind me, Satan. And Peter, you can guarantee Peter will probably get on his knees and start praying and interceding to stop his master, his friend, his lover, from going to the cross. That's what he would do. And Jesus cut straight across that and dealt with the powers of darkness, the devil himself. And that's what God is doing in your life now. This is what God is doing. He's cutting right across your life. He's dealing still with these emotional ties, these emotional things. And he's dealing now with the devil that tries to hold and control you. That's what he's doing. It's called closing doors. It's called deliverance. And wow, when that door closes, and then you begin to be attuned with God, and you begin to seek him or pray his will, there isn't that battle anymore. There isn't that striving to believe. The rest is there. You know you're attuned with God, and what you're praying, what you're saying, what you're doing, or ministry, is bang in line with God's will, and he's doing it right through you, in you. Begins to make all sense, doesn't it? That is where the greater works is going to come. Of course it's impossible, because human flesh can in no way do this. Human flesh can't glorify in this. It is a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. And that is why he's come to baptize you, to show you the deeper life. The baptism is to bring you to that place where you do the works of the Father to glorify him and him alone. That's why we cry out, Abba, Father. It's unto him. Well, finally, let's look at John 14, verse 10. Faith is the nature of God. That is what we're talking about here today. John 14 and verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Here, Jesus, God, in flesh, Emmanuel God, divesting himself, taking on human nature, human flesh. Here he is in his flesh, in the nature side of his flesh. He's saying, I am hopeless, I am useless, unless the Father does it through me. That is amazing. Now, if Jesus, God in flesh, acknowledged that, well, how much more we then? Huh? How much more we? And finally, Romans 8, verse 2. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and unbelief has freed us. You have been freed from law. Because with the law is unbelief. And the unbelief is because nobody can fulfill the law. Nobody can keep the law. Israel tried to, but she tried to do it in her own strength, and it's called unbelief. The law is only fulfilled. The completion of the law of God is only fulfilled in your life on the simple basis of choosing to believe. And on that, you are set free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from my unbelief, my sin, on the simple basis of choosing to believe. And even my believing is a gift of God. That is why you can confidently say, if you're a man or woman of faith, there is therefore now no condemnation in me, in Christ Jesus. As Paul says, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. To walk according to the Spirit is to simply believe. If you try and believe in your own strength, you walk according to the flesh. It's as simple as that. Keep that simple. Keep that focused in your mind, your heart, your confession, and God will then do the rest. Because we know that faith is enormous. There are so many aspects to faith. But the simplicity of faith is simply choosing to believe. On the basis that I choose to believe, God will work an enduring faith. On the simple basis of choosing to have a simple faith is to believe, God will work a healing faith, a delivering faith, an enduring faith, a faith that can believe through trials, a faith that can believe for others, a faith that can believe for lost souls. All takes faith, but it's all on the basis of simply choosing to believe. And in that believing, you set in motion the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Your faith releases the life that is in Christ, redeeming you, setting you free, taking you home to glory. Amen. Father, thank you again. Lord, sometimes we need to hear the simple ABCs of faith, because the attack is in the mind, the thinking, the intellect. But Lord, you are bringing each of us to that place where we don't know anymore. We have no answers unless God gives them. I have no actions, no works, unless God reveals them and brings them to me. And the wonderful good news of the gospel is that you bring it to us, the same as you brought your Son to us, so you bring the works to us. You bring the power, the ability to glorify your name to us. It's all brought to us. All we simply have to do is wait where we are in that position in order to receive. Because we can't receive it if we're busy going here, there and everywhere. We're busy, busy, busy. And this is why the devil is trying to get this last generation to be so caught up, so busy. Because it means that we're not available, ready to receive. So Lord, I pray that you'll continue to work that deliverance in and through us. Help us, teach us, train us to wait upon you, because it's in that waiting upon you do we receive the empowerment for you to work in and through us. And so I thank you for these teachings, Lord. I thank you that you've shown us that faith is the nature of God. It is you believing through us. It is your gift. You have given us the ability. And all this is to glorify and exalt the name of Jesus. So Father, be with us, bless us, preserve us, till we assemble again, because we ask this in Jesus' name.